Good morning, SEC. What a day do we have for y'all. Oh, coaches are back, players are back, and that means the news is back. No more list seasons. List season is over. We've got some real content coming for you today. We got the DJ Lagway drama. We've got Boo Carter situation somewhat resolved. We've got a lot of stuff. Texas A&M, are they back? I tell you what, after you listen to some of these clips, you may get a little excited about yourself unless you're a Longhorn fan. But before we get too far, let's remind the cousins we're brought to you by MyBookie. And if you log on right now to MyBookie, because I'm telling you, this is the time. This is the time to get those in. You're feeling better about a team. You're feeling worse about a team. You know, you put your money in the MyBookie, promo code SEC, they will match that deposit 100%. Nothing's better than playing with house money. Also, we're brought to you by Poncho. This one, you don't have to mess with the promo code. It's even easier. We're going to put the show note in the link. You jump on there. They've got some wonderful shirts, hats. They've got all kinds of stuff. You want to be cool? You got to wear a poncho. This is a shirt. You know, 2 years ago, I'd never heard of. Now it seems like everybody's starting to wear them. They're really cool. Be sure to check those out. You want to help the show grow. But before we get going, let's get over here to the comments. Let's see who's awake. Who's awake in the comment section? Here we go. Tim's drinking some coffee. The Texas boys are up. Nice to see you. Good. Rise and shine. Wakey, wakey. Eggs and bakey. There's Gunner. Good morning. Oh, there's Cousin JR. Let me get on here, cuz. Jeez Louise, you'd think I'd be better prepared. Let's see here. Let's see what we got here. We have got, let's see. Yeah, I'm still sick. I appreciate you asking. Cousin JR has just gifted a membership to Brett Springer. Brett, welcome to the family. Courtesy Cousin JR. Let's see if I can, you know what? Cousin JR got up this morning, set his alarm, gave somebody I think he deserves a little.
The legend, Cousin JR, has done it again. The memberships in this podcast are brought to you in part by Cousin JR. The memberships.
I still haven't figured out the loop problem, but hey, let's get into it. Coaches got to the podium. There were several of them. We had Kentucky. We had Mizzou earlier this week, South Carolina, Texas A&M. But everybody wanted to hear what this man had to say about his quarterback.
We could ask about DJ. What's the concern level for him, and how much do you think he's going to be able to do in these?
Yeah, I think he'll be – I mean, again, he's day-to-day. The good thing is that he, I think we're about a week removed, you know, so in general, he's made a lot of quick progress, but it will be something that we're monitoring, and hopefully as we go, his ability to participate in practice will be a little bit more each opportunity that we get going forward.
All right, so initial comments. I'm like, maybe, you know, day-to-day. Apparently this happened a week ago. People have spotted him in boots and not sure if DJ's going to play or not. But as you get further into this conversation, Billy drops this nugget. And I'm telling you right now, this is when I didn't start feeling good about the quarterback situation.
That can cause problems for anybody.
Yeah, I think the you know, the big thing would be we're going to have to play complementary football regardless who's playing quarterback. I mean, if you do your homework here, 85% of the teams in our league, I mean, 85% of the time, the team is going to play with the two quarterback. You know, it's just history's the best indicator of the future. And then we know that quality depth is critical. There's going to be weeks where we're missing three or four, you know, and we're missing six or seven. And I think the depth is critical. It's a part of playing in this league, the physicality of the league, the level of depth within the league. And I think offensively, we certainly have a really good, you know, when you talk about the front paired with the big, long, physical tight end group, you know, the brand of ball that we were able to play down the stretch, I think we're in position to do that. So, look, quarterback play, and I've said this to you guys going all the way back to year one, right? I think it's always indicative of how well people are playing around you, right? So I think we're always quick to give them the credit and quick to blame them at the same time, right? So I think we got a good surrounding cast on offense, and we got to go get them game ready, you know, and I think ultimately that's the next month will present that opportunity.
That is not the words I like to hear this early in the morning. I mean, I get the first one, day to day, you know, at least it's not week to week, but kind of sounds like it is. And then you come out here and you say, it's about the surrounding cast, which, yes, I do think the quarterback success is solely based on the people that are around him, but these comments make me think, hey, it doesn't matter who's back there, right? Well, yeah, kind of does, because when you're looking at the Florida Gator schedule, one of the toughest schedules in the country, the first thing that pops out is these early matchups: LSU, Miami, Texas A&M. These are all by October 11th. Like, if DJ's a no-go, if he's shut down and he's not playing early this season, then that 6.5 looks daunting. And that's crazy. I mean, this is a team that has a lot of pressure on him right now to perform, right? This is a team that, as we were getting closer to the season, I've heard everything from college football playoffs to Billy will get an extension after he's in. Now, don't get me wrong. I do feel like the Florida Gators are deeper. I do feel like they're older. And I feel like there is going to be success around DJ Lagway. But let's not forget who's the captain of this ship. And if DJ's not there, I don't think we hit 6.5. And if we don't hit 6.5, I don't think Billy's the coach there next year. That's just my opinion. I'm probably wrong, but, and I usually am with the Florida Gators. Gator fans don't care what I say. They're like, your fat ass is going to be walking in November when they beat them Tennessee Vols, probably. Probably going to be right. But I did want to show you something. This was pretty funny. I wanted to kind of just bring it up to the cousin because, you know, I see stuff like this. I get tagged and stuff like this online, and I'm like, you know what? I think the cousins would appreciate that. Here we are complaining about the Florida Gator schedule. You know who you don't hear complain much? Mississippi State. Brett posted this the other day. Said, most 2024 college football playoff opponents this year, Mississippi State will play four of those: Arizona State, Tennessee, Texas, and Georgia. Arkansas and Florida, Kentucky, are with three. So Arkansas's got Notre Dame, Tennessee, and Texas. Florida, Texas, Georgia, Tennessee. And then, of course, Kentucky, Georgia, Texas, Tennessee. So, you know, yes, we complain about the Florida schedule quite often, but them dogs down there, they don't care. They say, bring it on, bring it on. Not the funniest message I saw. The funniest came from a Mac fan. So I felt like we should include it because, you know, college football's here. Somebody was posting about the tennis or some of the SEC powerhouses, and this guy came in with a Mac comment only a Mac could have. So congrats on your 5-star recruits and $100 million facilities, SEC fans. Meanwhile, the Mac is out here playing real football in front of 14 people and a raccoon on Tuesday night during a blizzard. You see a punter throw a touchdown to a long snapper while the scoreboard's on fire? Didn't think so. While y'all are busy arguing over whose frat-funded dynasty is slightly less fraudulent, Toledo's cooking up a triple reverse flea flicker in a game that ends 43-42 after six missed PATs and goalposts get stolen. That's not football. That's maction. You wouldn't survive one quarter in Yips the team. I can't even say that. It's in Michigan somewhere. Butchered that last. I practiced that last word, and as soon as I saw it, it totally went out the window. Oh, man. Out the window. Guess who's back through the window? Boo.
Got great leadership on this team. I know at some point I'm going to get a question about Boo, so I'm going to address that right now. Boo is a part of our team here. There's some things that that he's got to accomplish to get back on the field with us. Don't have a set timeline on that. Our leadership council has been a part of those things, those discussions with me and with Boo. I'm proud of what they've done. They care and love Boo and, you know, want him to be his best too. And you know, through this, I think Boo sees that as well. And, you know, at the end of the day, us collectively continuing to grow here through through the course of training camp. I will be the one that will handle, take questions on Boo, and that's today and here throughout the beginning part of training camp as well. Proud of how our team has handled those things, and ultimately we'll handle those things internally. I'm not going to get into details on everything.
Boo's back in the family. So is Captain Rhett Butler. Captain, welcome to the family. Appreciate you, cuz. I'm telling you, this Boo Carter saga is drug on a little bit, but there's some things that, and I'm going to tell you, Josh Heupel talked a lot. We got some coordinators. I may include some of that on Friday, but you know, I'm hearing kind of the same thing. Boo's back, but there's things he has to do. And I don't think he has to do it with the University of Tennessee. You know, there was rumors out there he got in trouble and yada, yada, yada. I don't think that's it. He's got to earn it with his team. And I think that says a lot about what's going on behind the scenes at the University of Tennessee. Excellent interview that we got at Media Days, Austin Price. After the show, maybe check it out. This is before we even knew the Boo Carter situation. One thing he talked about is just the leadership that's on this program. It is on this program. I mean, we hear other coaches coming out begging for it. Kirby, not too long ago, was saying, we need some leaders to step up. You don't hear that in Knoxville. In fact, Boo Carter, as highly touted as he is, has to earn his way back onto this squad. So I don't think it's just a shoe-in, but, you know, if you want to be part of the family, you got to be part of the family. So very encouraging words, though. I'm glad he's back. Tennessee had a lot of good stuff to talk about. But nobody was more excited. Actually, Before we get into Texas A&M, because I'm telling you, the propaganda wagon, I'm trying to stay away from it. I really am. I swear to God I am. I know Aggie fans are like, please, Shane, do not love the Texas A&M Aggie, because that's the problem. I get in. I get sucked in. I think they're back. I think this is the year. We're not 8-4. We're going to win an SEC championship. We're going to compete for college football playoffs. And then they just, like a dagger in your heart, that's Aggie football, right? Oh, but then Coach gets up here, he says these things. Reed gets up here, he says these things. Before I get into the serious stuff, I want to start with quarterback Marcel Reed. This is a guy that nobody's really talking about. I mean, if you look at every QB ranking out there, including our own SEC Mike, Reed is not in the top five. Does he have potential? Absolutely. Has he put weight on? Absolutely. Second year in this system. This is a guy maybe some folks are sleeping on, but can he throw the football? And Reed starts out with these awesome comments.
Talk about your offseason and where you think you've made maybe the most improvements.
Well, I know y'all have also heard it just like I have. Not a passer. But, yeah, I feel like I've had, you know, tremendous growth in my passing this offseason.
Not a passer. But if he is, if he becomes one this season, maybe we are sleeping on them Texas A&M Aggies. Elko, so this is – I want to just kind of plant the seed here. I'm watching all these coaches. I'm watching all these players. And the further we get along, the more excited I get about this program. This was the first one, Elko coming here, talking about the growth of this locker room.
Some of the other guys that have stood out, Cassius Howell had a really strong summer. His body looks really, really good. Marcus Radcliffe, I think, has really done a phenomenal job in the weight room. Really excited about him. And then you just even go down to, like, some young kids. I was talking to T.K. Norman the other day. Like, T.K. Norman has put on 20 pounds and all kinds of muscle. That's 20 pounds of body weight since he got here. He showed up at 165. He's 185 right now. And so I think when you look at some of those things, things. Everybody says this, right? And so I don't want to be cliche, but we're a bigger, faster, stronger team. Now we got to go play football, and we got to play football well.
You ever seen that video where what's his name, WWE Vince, he's just it progresses, he's getting more and more excited about something. I can't remember the actual event or situation, but this was me. So now I'm starting to get reeled back in, right? All we need now, I'm like, man, we got this offensive line now, probably one of the best in the country. The defense is now ran by Elko, so hopefully second year bump there. Marcel Reed looks good. He just needs somebody to throw it to, and oh my gosh, you would think this was it. And I'm gonna piece two of these guys together. I'm gonna Elko the first, Marcel Reed. But I'm telling you right now, there may be, after these comments, the best receiver in the country may be in College Station.
What was your first impression of KC when you went against him a couple years ago, and has he lived up to everything you hoped he'd be?
Yeah, what an unbelievable playmaker. You know, when we went up against him as a freshman, he was really doing it all. He was lining up as a slot. They were running a lot of, like, vertical go balls with him, and he was having a lot of success doing that. Then they were bringing him into the backfield and handing him the ball as a running back. They were doing jet sweep stuff with him. He was really just a guy that they were trying to put in position to impact the game as a true freshman, and that obviously stood out, and he was a guy that we paid a lot of attention to and when we played him because of that. And then I think he's absolutely lived up to it. I think his work ethic, his professionalism, and his ability to impact the game is exactly what we had hoped it would be when we recruited him here, and so I think he's ready to go on and have a really, really big year this year for us.
Conception, I'm telling you.
4-7. Marcel, Coach Elko talked about how when they were recruiting KC that you went to a practice, and when he saw you throw, he was like, okay, I kind of want to play with this guy. How much did that mean to you to hear at the time and when Coach Elko talked about it? And just what has KC shown this offseason?
Yeah, funny you say that, because I remember that practice. I saw Casey there. I was like, yeah, I got to get this guy. I threw about, I think there was one period where I threw probably like three or four balls that were at least 25, 30 yards down the field each, like both all back to back to back. So I was like, I gotta do my big one for this guy at practice. And, it worked out pretty well. I went over there, after that period and kind of just sat over there and talked to him a little bit. And, he kind of gave me, like, the nod at that point. And, I was pretty excited that he was going to come. But, Casey's done a tremendous job this spring, this summer. He's a hard worker. And you'll never doubt the kid. And whenever he's coming out for practice, he's going to give 110% every time. And so that's something I really like about him. He has sure hands. He talks to me all the time and tells me, throw it anywhere, I'm going to catch it. So, and he's proven it. So, really excited to have him out there this year. He's going to be a really good weapon for us.
Not doing it yet, but I don't know. Elko keeps coming to the stand. I may have to get on this bandwagon. All right, enough news around the league. We're going to get this. The whole point of morning hangover was I wake up, I pick up my phone, I make sure that I didn't tweet anything dumb the night before, that I didn't text anybody I shouldn't have texted. More importantly, that I didn't call anybody I shouldn't have called. Well, we had a couple calls last night. I want to highlight that. And if you want to be part of that drunk dialing, you can check the show notes there. It's really easy. You click on the link. You can record your question. You can record your hot take, whatever. If you don't like it, delete it, re-record. It doesn't send until you hit send. But definitely check that out. But we got a couple of good ones here. Cousin Maverick with a question about Arkansas.
Cousin Shane, on your last episode of The Hangover, you mentioned a list of easy places to play if you were a player. What would make Donald W. Razorback Stadium a place where you would be afraid to play and return each year?
Cousin Maverick, I appreciate the question. And I thought about this. I really gave this some thought. I'm not an architect, but But I feel like you really need to close this section in. You know what I'm saying? Now, this is just cosmetic stuff right now, right? It feels like there's a lot of noise that can escape that. I'm no scientist, no physics major, but I'm just saying I feel like a big hole in the side of the stadium could be a problem if you're trying to trap noise. But ultimately, how you fear someone in Donald Razorback Stadium here is winning football games. It's really that simple. If you maintain a home field advantage like Georgia has the last 4 years, like Bama has the last, feels like 10 years, you know, it doesn't, you know, it wasn't that long ago. And I'm not giving Georgia fans shit, but it wasn't that long ago when you saw these lists that came out with dangerous places to play or whatever, Georgia wasn't on it, you know? And yes, they've upgraded their stadium, and yes, there's some more seats and it's nicer and whatever, but ultimately what changed down there was Kirby Smart. Ultimately what changed down there is when teams came to Athens, Georgia, they left with an L. So I feel like this is more about the actual product than it is the actual facilities, but I don't think it'd hurt to close that damn hole in. but I do appreciate the call, cuz last one I got, and this one, I tell you what, this, when I had envisioned calls, I envisioned calls like this. Cousin Mon coming through with me with a little shit talk too. I love it early. What is this, Wednesday morning? Come on now. College football's in the air, baby.
So, Cousin Shane, this is your cousin mine from South Carolina. Got a quick question for you. I seen a bold take that Lenore Sellers going to throw for 3,000 yards, rush for 1,000 yards this year. I'm just wondering, do you think that's a bold take, or do you think that could actually happen? And if it happened, do you see a Heisman coming to South Carolina? And to all the Kentucky fans, ever since Stoops talked about them glasses Shane wore, it's been downhill. Go Cox.
Oh, Cousin Mon, if I could play it twice, I would. I appreciate you calling in. And I'm going to tell you right now, the Heisman race is stupid. At the end of the day, it's the dumbest award that we offer in this country, in my opinion. And we offer a lot of dumb ones. The problem I have with Heisman isn't the actual players. It's the votes. It's the tally. It's everything that happens prior to. We have people putting votes in before championship games are played, before college football playoffs are played. I mean, seriously, what are we doing? I mean, what world do we live in where we can crown the greatest player in college football and not complete all the games? I don't get it. I feel like there should be a better vetting system, not for the players, but for the actual voters. I would prefer less voters, honestly. I think you could probably do this in 50 diehard cousins. I would guarantee, well, we're a little biased because we're in the SEC, but there's cousins out there. You know, you take 10 of us, you take 10 of Big Ten, you take 10 of ACC, yada, yada, yada. Maybe not ACC because they're a cheap conference, but you know what I'm saying. And you actually get the real answers through the fandom. I mean, you almost get the better answers online, but even then, people just, they're name clicking. And Lenore Sellers is becoming a name, but he's not the name right now, unfortunately. It's going to take some action. Now, you mentioned 3,000 yards passing. You mentioned 1,000 yards rushing. Well, this is what he had last year. 25-34 passing. 674. I mean, if you let him play in that Akron game, he probably has 1,000 yards. So I don't think the numbers are far off. But more importantly, I think for South Carolina to have a Heisman winner, it comes down to wins and losses. And unfortunately, because South Carolina doesn't carry that name brand, they're going to have to win some damn football games. And when you look over here, I'm trying to find South Carolina's schedule. I mean, obviously, I feel like a 10-2, you're right there in the mix, but it's going to have to be some big wins. It's going to be Alabama at home, Ole Miss on the road. Hopefully they're still relevant by November 1st. And then, of course, Clemson. If Clemson does what I think they can do, and you do what you did to them last year, absolutely. There is no reason that Lenoris cannot win the Heisman. So they got it. They got the pieces that's needed. But it just for me, it's success on the schedule here. You have that success. 9-1 or 9-3, I don't think he gets it. 10-2 with a big win either over Clemson or Bama, something that we can really showcase, because that's what you got to have is kind of that Heisman moment. He had it, yes. He had it last year. It's just unfortunate not a lot of people got to appreciate the game like Cousins did here. But, hey, you know who I do appreciate? Each and every one of you guys showing up bright and early. Yes, I am fighting it. That's why I'm here in the training facility. Me and DJ are getting worked out here later. But I do appreciate all the cousins showing up. Again, you want to be part of the show in the notes. You got the voicemail there. You could be a cousin. If you don't want, if $4.99 is too much for you, that's okay. Hit the thumbs up. Hit the like button. Hit the share. Maybe someone in your feed can be blessed with that SEC podcast this morning. But I do appreciate everybody rolling in. We got some action. It's no more talking season. Talking season's gone. We got some football action. So be sure to check me and Mike on tonight. And of course, Hangover, we'll be back Friday. So we're going to be Monday, Wednesday, Fridays. So I'll get burnt out if I'm getting up 5 o'clock every morning. So let's get to the comments before I get out of here. Any good stuff? Any cousins got some final words? Good morning. Hope you're feeling better. Thank you, sir. I am getting there. Apparently it's in the whole house now. So it is like the Walking Dead around here. Awesome. See you next time. Dadgummit. Here's one. Here we go. Thank you, cuz. A little donation on the way out from Eduardo Diaz. Wish DJ a speedy recovery for me. I will let him know, and I appreciate everybody. You guys have a wonderful day. All right. Do not call in. Enjoy. Hey, we're almost there. Hang in there. Save your call-in days. We got football right around the corner. See y'all.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.